Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I talked with pianist Jan Liszewski when he was in Philadelphia to play three different Mozart piano concertos with the Philadelphia Orchestra in 3 days. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you very much.
Your first recording for Deutsche Grammophon involved two of these concertos.
Yes, the D minor and the C major, 466 and 467, both of which are being played this week and showcase really Mozart's genius. He wrote them almost at the same time, and yet they're so different. There's the D minor, which is dark and has all these incredibly sad elements with touches of color, sunshine peeking through the clouds every once in a while. And then you have the C major, which is the opposite. It's extremely happy, and it's really lively and going forward and joking and playful, but sometimes peaks out of the darkness something mysterious and unknown. So you have two contrasting concertos that work very well together or work very well in a week together, and it's great fun to also play them with the same orchestra so you can highlight those ideas that you may have to bring out that darkness in the C major, for instance.
You've talked about the way that Mozart sometimes disguises emotions.
Absolutely. I think Mozart was forced to disguise emotions for much of his life. Being in the time period that he lived, he had to write many things in major keys and befitting the style that was modern, at the time fashionable. And so many of his pieces created the stereotype of Mozart, the happy, smiling person. And I believe that in many cases he had to really disguise what he felt. Much of his life he was going through difficulties from one kind or another. And on one hand, of course, music offered him an escape. But on the other hand, I'm sure he couldn't help to put those emotions in it. So you feel that when you're performing it.
What draws you particularly to Mozart?
The purity of Mozart's music is unparalleled, perhaps only rivaled by Bach, and I'm sure that Bach actually would win if we went down to it, but it's music in a very pure form. It's beauty. It's not something that was written to be difficult or with some other reason, but it really just shines. And Mozart is also great fun to play because there's nothing that you can hide. There's no way that you can hide in a corner and say, well, you know, this part I haven't practiced very much, so I'm sorry, I'm going to put some pedal on and it's not going to work. Which you can do in many romantic composers. You just say, oh, well, you know, it's difficult, so put the pedal down. Mozart, you have no escape. You're there. You're alone. You're solo. And you're in the spotlight. You have no chance to say, oops, I'm sorry, this was wrong. Every note counts. Every rest counts. Everything has a meaning.
In some ways, they're simple, but they give more leeway to the performer. Is that right?
Mozart, of course, looking at the score and listening to it afterwards, it all seems very simple. There isn't so much going on. You don't have rich harmonies and huge chords and things that are on the surface difficult to play. Yet, when you're learning the piece, it can be extremely difficult, perhaps not to get past the technical stage, but then to actually create something from it, because there are so many things that do not have a natural inclination to go one way or another, and you really have to consciously think, well, how am I going to do this? Am I going to shape it this way or this way? And there's an incredible amount of options. So in the end, it's easy to choose one, but to make it effective is the key, and that sometimes takes more time. So in that way, it does give the performer a little more ability to choose what they want, because it's not written directly into the score. You're not told you have to do this in a particular manner.
Can we talk about each concerto individually, and maybe you could give us some examples? So let's start with the concerto in D minor.
This is the very dark D minor concerto, which is unique amongst the 27 piano concertos that Mozart wrote, being only one of two written in a minor key. So by itself, this means that it's special. But it also somehow foreshadows a different style of writing, which would be then taken by Beethoven and grown into something incredible, something that we love today as well. It's very much something from the future, and you can feel it when you're playing this concerto. It is very emotional for the performer and also for the audience. it allows you really to express a lot of pain and delve into some corners that Mozart usually doesn't explore. Very operatic in style, as many things that Mozart wrote, but particularly so in this concerto. The cadenzas are written by Beethoven, and that also fits in very, very well with this piece. Beethoven only wrote cadenzas for this Mozart concerto, so it's special to have them, and they are in Beethoven's style. He didn't try to adjust to Mozart, but he didn't have to, because it just fits in. It's part of the piece. I personally couldn't imagine playing it with a different cadenza for the first or third movement, so those are something which I also really enjoy.
Are there any particular parts of it that you'd like to illustrate or explain the kind of duality?
Sure, I can explain something. Should we move?
Okay.
Here I can show in the third movement one of these places where you really have this change of character, the sudden change that you don't really necessarily understand, that you don't think, why would it happen? You have all of this darkness and sadness. This is the beginning of the third movement, so it's dark. A little while later, after a very tumultuous passage, you suddenly have the orchestra come in with. Something that would fit right into your stereotypical Mozart, happy, exuberant, excited, joyful, all those terms that you can use to describe it. And it's so much fun, because amongst all this darkness, you suddenly come out and you have this sunshine. And when you emphasize that, it's a lot of fun for the musicians and also for the audience. You have this really positive reprieve from this darkness, and then you go back, of course. A moment later, it all goes back into darkness.
Is it difficult to switch emotional tones?
Mozart changes those emotional tones quite often, and that's something which is perhaps something that you have to learn, and doesn't only apply actually to Mozart's music. You have that very often in Beethoven and in other composers as well. But it's this change of mood that gives you a lot of ability to make something special, to make it really hold meaning, because suddenly you have a contrast, and a contrast is a surprise, and a surprise is in the end much better than something that you know is going to come. It's like gifts. If you know that you're going to get something that you dreamed about, well, it's nice. You'll fulfill a dream. But if you get a really great surprise that somebody thought about and really hit it on the spot, then that surprise is going to really win with the gift that was premeditated and you knew about. And that's the same thing in the music. It's a gift that just comes along and really gives us a lot of joy.
And he wrote the concerto in C major very soon after the concerto in D minor.
Yes, and we actually don't know. It's hard to say. Probably he was working on them at the same time. Of course, the C major was published as the next Kerschel number, but we don't know really. It probably was written at the same time. So it's a contrasting piece. It's C major, so you know, your basic key, right? The most positive and sunny key that there is, one that everybody knows in the audience. I think it's something that really uses this key and turns it into something very important, and it is great fun to play. It's completely different than the D minor, and yet it also creates this joy for the orchestra.
Well, maybe they reflected different sides of his personality at that one short period of time when he was composing.
I'm sure. Mozart, I think, was a very multifaceted person, and you can feel that in his music. I think I would have liked to meet him just to see what he was like, if he was really so exuberant and crazy as he's reported to be.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Jan.
Thank you very much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.